the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Shek. Oh, we're loaded for bear, as you would expect we would be here in the postseason. This is when we elevate our game to a playoff-level standard, and here to help me do so right now, seated to my immediate right, the first of many to join us either physically in Studio 66 or at least on the phone lines. Here he is from NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure.
I am loaded up on caffeine today.
Good.
After last night. This is we're taping this on Wednesday morning, but Tuesday night I had the role of a lifetime playing Peyton Manning in the rehearsal for the Pro Bowl selection
show. It was exhilarating, if ironic stuff. Yes, they used Rank as Peyton Manning for the little run-through for the big draft, the big what's it called?
Pick up football game.
That's what it is. All right. Obviously, we have much to discuss in terms of the postseason action coming up. Also, Rank caught up just a little bit ago, and we're going to play that for you. You caught up with Victor Cruz
for
a rangy conversation, not just including the playoffs, but also the state of the Giants, and also Chris Cluey and Victor Cruz's involvement in bully teens, and he did a good deed for a gay teenager who was bullied, and so you got into all that stuff with him. All right, but right now, here he is on the line with us. This is very exciting. We're doing a home and home, very 21st century style. We have a podcast. So does he. He also is on NBC Sports, Sirius XM, NFL Radio, Sporting News, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Like I say, you can hit him up on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. It's Ross Tucker. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, what's up, man?
What a pleasure
Thanks for having me. Hey, by the way, why did you decide to go Dave Dameshek Football Program as opposed to Ross Tucker Football Podcast? So was it a big debate as to whether it was going to be called program or podcast?
I thought it had a different sort of flair to it to call it a program. You know, it doesn't set, you know, podcast, like I say, is very 21st century. I want it to feel timeless, you understand?
Yeah, see, you know what? And I just wanted when people Google it and Google podcast, I wanted to come up.
Well, you're smarter and not coincidentally probably much more successful than I am.
Actually,
too.
our focus group said program.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah,
see, they didn't share the info.
We had high-level meetings, and the focus group did choose that.
Hey, Ross.
So wait a minute. The NFL's Dave Dameshek focus group said program, but they said podcast for Rich Eisen.
It's all very confusing, Ross. It's all very confusing.
You know what my favorite part of your podcast is?
What's Jack, that?
I love when you say, hey, it's Dave. Dave Dameshek, because it reminds me. I don't know if are you doing this on purpose? Are you doing the Ned Shireson thing from Groundhog Day on purpose?
You know what's sad? No, I'm not.
Oh,
it just comes out.
Groundhog Day is one of my all-time favorite movies. I think it's absolutely incredible.
Yes.
I had a fraternity brother in college whose name was Brian Schreier, but for some reason we called him Ned, like Ned Shireson.
Of course.
Groundhog Day was coming. So the way you start every podcast and you're like, hey, it's Dave Dameshek. I thought it was a spoof on, hey, it's Ned Shireson.
I think probably, you know what, deep down, it's one of those things that you don't realize as a human being that your brain is a sponge. I'm just trying to be folksy, but it is informed, of course, by having watched that movie. It sounds like you. I've watched that movie at least 100 times. It is one of the great comedies of all time.
Yeah, I mean, the Jeopardy scene, when he looks at the old lady and says the answer before they even ask the question, it's unbelievable.
I like this, Tucker. Right out of the gate,
right
Rank.
Out of the gate.
I have enjoyed your show for some time, and I've got it on, you know, I've heard you on Sirius and the podcast. And I noticed that there's, you know, you're an ex-player, so you're a rare breed in this way. You don't go a lot of National Football League, and I'm speaking of cliches. Unnecessary use of cliches by the talking heads, like, for instance, National Football League, instead of just going NFL. It's so easy, right? What do you think? What's your least favorite, that one or in this league or in our league? Which is your least favorite?
I don't like our league because you're kind of trying to act like you're better than them.
Yeah.
And I don't mind if someone says in the National Football League, but when they say it seven times in like a 45-second deal, that's when it really gets on my nerves. And the National Football League, you know what else the guys say a lot, which kind of dumb? Everything's football. This guy is a good football player, and he's coached by good football coaches. Like, we know what sport it is. You don't have to keep hammering it. You know what's really bothering me, though? And maybe you guys can chime in on this. I don't think I'd ever heard or used the word narrative until 3 months ago. We've gone drunk on narrative. I mean, I get tweets saying, well, whatever, as long as that sticks to your narrative, Ross. Like, and I'm getting narrative now. I'm getting narrative tweets from people that I'm pretty sure don't even know what narrative is or ever heard of it before then, and they're tweeting me about narrative. It's gotten out of control, use of the word narrative.
Ross.
It's the people who use the Cliff Notes books. Because it's right there in big block letters, narrative. So you're sitting there and you're cheating your way through that stuff.
I'm with Ross, though. I think people don't know what it means. And in fact, Ross, we really do park our cars in the same garage because I just did a whole video about the difference between narrative and legacy and the emergence of these two words and the fading away, at least for 2013, of elite. That's a terrible word, too. That really, we understand that it's a superlative. But it's the overuse of elite. That's, I mean, you know, it beats the band. Good luck. But I agree with you. Narrative, you know where it really turned on is with Peyton Manning. He's the one who said whoever came up with that narrative can stick it where the sun don't shine. That's where it came to prominence.
Right. And speaking of Peyton Manning, if they lose this weekend on Sunday, are you kidding me? I mean, I can't remember a divisional round game being more important to a guy's, wait for it, legacy than any other game than Peyton Manning. I mean, if he's one and done again this year with the ridiculous numbers that he put up this year, if they lose to the Chargers at home for the second time, I mean, he'll never live that down. And he knows, I mean, he'll never, ever live that down.
Well, listen, it's something that that Rank and I here have talked about ad nauseum, and to the annoyance for some of the listeners out there, because they think we hate Peyton Manning. Why do you hate Peyton Manning? I get a lot of those from Broncos and Colts fans. This is not reckless speculation. He's 9-11 in the postseason. He has come up short time and again. The analogy I always use is that Superman at the end of the movie doesn't say, "Hey, I've gotten us this far. Hey, Jimmy Olsen, take it from here." It's ludicrous. And this notion also, well, he makes everybody around him better, but then the guys around him don't step up in the postseason. Well, does he make everybody better or not? And by the way, he makes 20% of the overall budget for the players, so it's expected that he would be the most significant. Everybody becomes very egalitarian after the game about, hey, he's just one member of a 53-man team. No, he's not. He's not just another one.
I love, too. You know what I love is last year against the Broncos, Raheem Moore gets beat over the top by Jacoby Jones. It never should have happened. It was the play of the game. It cost the Broncos the game. We all understand that. But what I think is funny is that then they went to overtime, and then Peyton threw a bad pick, which led to the Ravens field goal. But if you talk to, like, the pro-Peyton supporters, like, there's nothing he can do wrong in their eyes, that interception did not happen in their universe because the game ended because of Raheem Moore. Like, it still counts. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that they probably shouldn't even go into overtime. But once the series of events leads you to overtime, then you have to perform in that extra stanza, and he didn't. Look, I mean, the guy is the best regular season quarterback of all time. I think it's very, very hard to dispute that. But what games do you guys remember from when you were younger? I don't remember one regular season game. I don't remember. I'm a big Eagles fan, which, by the way, Sheck, is why, you know, part of me really likes the fact that you're from Pennsylvania. Like, I feel a sense of kinship. But since you're a Western PA punk, and then it's that started part of it.
Punk, I mean, I'm champion. I sit up high on the banks of the Three Rivers with all my rings and trophies.
I hate Steelers fans. You guys are so entitled. See, I'm an Eastern PA guy. I grew up Eagles fan. Like, my heyday was Buddy Ryan, Randall Cunningham, Reggie White, Jerome Brown, and I don't remember any regular season games. I mean, you only remember the playoff games, which is why people will say, oh, no, Peyton Manning's the greatest quarterback ever. Well, he's not, because he hasn't performed his best. He hasn't done as well as he needed to in the games that we all remember. Why do I mean, there are people that, a lot of people still believe Joe Montana is the best quarterback of all time, and that's because in their mind, he was 37-0 in the postseason. You know, they don't even remember any of the losses. He just won. In their mind, he won every game that they remember.
Well, listen, I say it all the time. There are different statistics are important in football like they are in all other sports that matter. But when it comes to NFL QBs, it's interesting. Nobody talks about that Fran Tarkenton has more career passing yards than Joe Montana. All that anybody talks about when they evaluate QBs, with a few exceptions, like Dan Marino, it is always about who won the most. You know, and it's not as simple as, well, Trent Dilfer has one ring, so he's better than Dan Marino. No one thinks that. There are exceptions, but for the most part, it is the ring count that matters above who had more passing yards in the course of their career.
Right, and how about the people that will argue that Brady can now never be as good as Montana because Brady's lost two Super Bowls?
Well,
as if the logic follows that if Montana had made an additional Super Bowl and lost that he would be a worse player. Think about how crazy that logic is right there.
Yeah.
If he had gotten there an additional time but lost, then that makes him a worse. What? That's crazy.
I do think this, and then that leads me into the question I have for you. But, you know, I do think that if Brady wins one more, because it has been 9 years, I think he does maybe go down as the greatest of all time. But he does need to get that one more, because right now, narrative slash legacy is, boy, he came out of the gate red hot, but in the last decade or so of his career, he never won again, and there's something sad about that. I think if he wins one more, though, he'll be. So, all right, let's talk about these playoffs. Rank for me, because on our last podcast, Black Tie Behind the Glass asked an interesting question. 1 through 8, there are 8 QBs still standing. Which do you want starting a big-time playoff game? Rank them for me, off the top of your head. You can take your time. Don't feel rushed. 1 through 8, the 8 QBs still standing. Who you got?
I mean, number one, it's not close, is Tom Brady. I think he already is the greatest quarterback of all time. Hmm. I just, 5 Super Bowls. They've won the division 11 times. I mean, he's got the stats, if you want that, from the 2007 season, 2011-2012. And let me just say this. If they win it this year, I'm not even going to allow anybody to have the discussion. If you try to say anybody other than Brady, I'm going to punch you in the face. If they win it this year with as many injuries, who loses your second, third, and fourth best players? Gronk and Wilfork and
yep.
Mayo? I mean, forget it. It's not even a debate if they win. I mean, and you could almost already make that argument with them being 12-4. But number one for sure is Brady. I'm trying to think who else is in. Okay, we got Phillip Rivers.
Right, you got Breeze. You got Peyton. You got Cam. Kaepernick. Russell Wilson.
Wilson.
And we said Phil Rivers. Yeah. I think that's everybody,
right?
You
have everybody,
right? And Andrew Luck.
Right.
Oh, Andrew.
Oh, man. This is tough. By the way, I think Luck, and nobody, I don't know anybody else has said it, I think Luck's a little overrated, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought he played really well, obviously, in the second half on Saturday. I have no idea what Andy Reid and Bob Sutton were doing. But you want to talk about a narrative. Because he was so highly touted coming out of college, and because he's done some good things, I think people make him out to be better than he is, or that he's done more than he has. I think he's a really good quarterback. But, you know, earlier in the season, people were like, he's already a top 3 quarterback. No, he's not.
Yeah, he turns the ball over, considering that, you know, if you use the old standard of 15 or 25 years ago, guys threw more picks at that time. People don't do it as often anymore. For him to be the pick machine he is, I do agree with you about that it's gotten out of hand with how awesome he is. And by the way, obviously, Alex Smith, as great a game as he played, if he hits that wheel route in the fourth quarter, then Andrew Luck's narrative currently 2 years through his career is, wow, this guy's 0-2 in the playoffs. Uh-oh.
This is where we're going.
That would have started already. Which is, by the way, I think those are media crutches. Which is why I was really rooting for Alex Smith and Andy Reid to win that, and for the Chiefs fans, since it's been so long, and then also for the Bengals. I didn't want Andy Dalton to have that hanging over his head and Marvin Lewis, because then that's all. You know, I'm on Sirius Radio all year, and even my podcast. And it's all people say then. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I was so glad the Saints won that. So everybody could just shut up about the road playoff game thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I think I'm going to go Breeze number two.
Okay, that's a good call.
I think I'd go Breeze number two. You know, based on what we've seen so far, and it's admittedly a limited sample size, and I have some concerns about his ability to get to his second and third read, I might have to go Kaepernick number three.
I figured you were going to go there. Listen, the fact of the matter is he's lethal, especially. It's unfair, and I'm asking this question in a vacuum. It's not their current teams or coaches or anything. Just the guy. What guy do you want under center? But, man, he's devastating if there's any reason for the defense to – I mean, Vernon Davis dragging those guys down the middle of the field opens things up for Kaepernick. I mean, I got to think if you're in one of those games, there's nothing that destroys you emotionally as a defense more than we did everything right and he still broke loose and ran for 11 yards and got the first down anyway.
Yeah, I think he's the most physically talented guy in the league. And it's crazy how fast he is. I mean, I wrote on Twitter watching him and then the next night watching Jameis Winston. I mean, you know, I know Jameis Winston is not supposed to be some speedster, but he looked like he was in slow motion. Plus, he gets extra credit for wearing no sleeves. Did you guys know that when you wear no sleeves and it's that cold, you put Vaseline on your arms?
I did recently learn that, and I know that there's a bit of controversy. I was talking to this very question that we're talking about, 1 through 8 of the quarterback still standing. I was talking to Heath Evans and LaDainian Tomlinson about it, and those are two name drops there, two former NFLers themselves.
Nice.
And
nice.
By the way, I was stunned. Heath Evans said Peyton Manning 6 out of those 8 QBs. LaDainian said Peyton Manning 4th out of those 8 QBs. But Heath also then shared, I said, what about the sleeveless thing with Kaepernick? And he said, you know, it depends on the position entirely because it's cool to do it if you're one guy. But Reggie Bush, I used to have to give him the business because he liked wearing those sleeves. And as a running back, apparently it makes the ball extra slick. Mm-hmm. And so that's extra a reason to go sleeveless. Yes.
Well, yes, and I have some experience in this. So I started 25 games over my 7 years, but I was mainly a swing inside guy, meaning I mm-hmm. played, you know, center, both guards. So I started at least 5 games at all 3 interior positions, which I always say means I wasn't really good. Otherwise, they would have actually just left me at one. But so what I would tell you is that I never had a problem with the temperature. I played in Buffalo, played in Cleveland when I was starting because it's like you have so much adrenaline going, you're so pumped up that it doesn't bother you. But when you're a backup, dude, when you're on the sideline, that is a problem. It's kind of like this. You ever have like your back's bothering you and then you get your hand caught in the car door or something, and it hurts so much that you totally forget about your back. My thing is, I think the human body can only, like, say, yo, this is really bad. What are you doing to me? About one thing at a time. And the cold is superseded by the 340-pound dude 6 inches from your nose trying to kill you. So you totally forget about the cold when the 350-pound dude that's mean is trying to kill you. But if you're on the sideline, you don't have that immediate, like, survival threat of the 350-pound dude, so you're cold, if that makes sense.
It does.
I always put...
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go Brady 1, Breeze 2. I just love Breeze. Kaepernick 3. The 4 is going to surprise you. He hasn't had a ton of opportunities yet, but I think Russell Wilson's that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he did against the Redskins in the postseason, what he did even against Atlanta.
Exactly. I mean,
he had
59 and a half minutes through that game. He gets him in. There's nothing you can do about what happened in the last second.
But Seattle.
Who was their receivers last year? He was still like, that yep. whole game, he was throwing to Zach Miller.
Yep, you're exactly right. And this year, if Percy Harvin doesn't emerge, then again this year, I think that's a real liability. I think they can be had because of that. I mean, they're worse off. Sidney Rice, at least, was a legit threat at the tail end of last year. Golden Tate's their number one? Eek.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe what he did in Atlanta. And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Harvin, because if you think about it, how these teams handled their spring OTA injuries is having a huge impact on the playoffs right now. Melvin Ingram got torn ACL. They waited until he was already back. He was bawling on Sunday for the Chargers. The same with Crabtree. But the Seahawks decided, oh, man, let's get Percy Harvin back because he's pissed at the Vikings. And so we'll get him back for that Vikings game. And they rushed him back. And so now he's still messed up. If everybody's bodies are different. They all three of them had different injuries. But his hip labrum isn't any worse than a torn ACL or Crabtree with a torn Achilles. And yet those guys are both back playing at a high level. We don't even know if Percy Harvin will play. So how they handled his spring injury might be the difference between whether they win the Super Bowl or not. So anyway, so Russell Wilson's four.
Wait, can I stop you? Can I stop you on Russell Wilson real quick? I wanted to bring up last year against the Redskins, weren't they getting blown out? And then RG3 gets hurt. That game could have been totally different, and the Seahawks could have Seahawks should have lost that game because they were getting beat handedly.
It's a fair point, but no, RG3, when he completely collapsed and fumbled that ball away and everything, that game, no, it was a tight game at that point.
No,
they were losing at that point. The Redskins were already losing at that point.
I remember it not being in Seattle's
favor. It did start to get out of hand, and RG3 wasn't 100%, that's for sure. All right, fair enough. All right, go ahead.
It was a close game. You're right, though. I mean, with all these things, isn't it? It's always hilarious to me. Like, one play can change everything. It's just... And I could do that with so many different things. So five is Peyton Manning. I mean, he's not great in these situations, but he's still Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still done it in enough games. You know, the 2006 AFC Championship against the Patriots, that was pretty impressive. So he's done it in some games.
I'll say this. The thing that I don't really give the Chargers much of a shot in this game. I think that I really do think the Broncos are going to smoke them because Ryan Matthews is banged up. But if you could really bang that defense a little bit of the Broncos and spin the clock like they did a few weeks ago, then they'd have a chance. But like you said, Ross, I think that Melvin Ingram, the way he looked, if he brings it on that level this weekend again, I think then there is a shot for these Chargers.
Well, you know what's crazy? I don't ever remember guys coming back from torn ACLs and torn Achilles 6 months later and balling out like this. I mean, you would know this, Dave. You know, Rod Woodson, they were like, okay, maybe he can come back for the Super Bowl and we'll see. But these guys aren't just coming back. These guys are playing at a really, really high level. Of course, I mentioned that on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, and I got at least 20 tweets right away, Dave, saying PEDs are great, PEDs, PEDs. Which bothers me. I don't think that's the case.
Now,
I mean, how many people realize how hard it is to take PEDs and get away with it in the NFL?
I think, everybody, it's vapid cynicism. That's fine. People like to do that. But what it is a tip of the hat to 21st century modern medicine. The example I always use is Billy Sims. If that guy would have come around 10 years later, he at the very least would have continued his career and probably wound up in the Hall of Fame. As it was basically, well, he hurt his knee. That's the end of his career. And that was 1984-ish. I agree with you about that. All right, Ross, let's do some picks because that's where I basically wanted to hear where you had Peyton standing in here because I get on the Twitter too, as does Rank. We get brutalized for being haters of Peyton Manning. It's not hate; it's merely stating facts. So it's nice to be supported on that count.
Gotcha. And I got Luck 6, River 7. Cam Newton 8, although Cam was clutch at the end of the season, I got to see him do it in this spot.
I hear you, and you know what? He could elevate all the way. If he beats the Niners this weekend, that especially with a hobbled Steve Smith, then it's going to be hard to disparage him too much. Let's go through him. All right, let's just get your picks here. People like hearing your picks, Ross. Let's start with that one. Carolina hosting the Niners. Who you got?
This is a tough one for me. This is the game I'm most looking forward to because my favorite aspect of football is not wide receivers catching passes like everybody else. My favorite aspect is the physicality. If anybody has a youngster that wants to be a linebacker, watch this game. I mean,
oh yeah,
team. I can't wait. I'm going to go with the 49ers, and I think a deciding factor for me is I don't believe Steve Smith will be 100%, and I don't believe they can win, the Carolina can win, unless Steve Smith is absolutely 100% being a little mighty mouse flying around. I don't see that happening. I think the Niners win a close one. The other thing is Cam Newton is just so inconsistent throwing the ball. He throws some of the best, like, 25-yard digs I've ever seen, and he misses, like, a 5-yard out by, like, 10 feet. It's crazy. I'm going to go with the Niners. Let's call it 17-14.
I'm calling it 3-2. I think that Niners offense is getting rolling. This team is sort of, it feels like peaking is, talk about cliches, but people do talk about peaking at the right time. And it does seem like they got their bodies back at the right time. But Steve Smith, if he's not, if he's 70 or 80% of himself, then what's scary other than Cam Newton running around? Greg Olsen's gonna win the game? I find that hard to imagine, like you say, against those nifty linebackers with the Niners. All right, who you got, Rank?
San Francisco.
Got the Niners in that one, too. Okay, next up then, let's travel out to the Pacific Northwest. Who you got, Saints at the Seahawks, Ross?
Well, like I was saying last week, everybody thought it was a foregone conclusion that the Eagles were going to win and win easy. I didn't think so. This game is going to look a lot different than the Monday nighter when the Seahawks massacred the Saints. You know, I love Russell Wilson, but he wasn't really playing that great towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a close one. You know, here's what I always do. I'm so tempted to take the Saints, but when I make my picks, I make it based on where I would put money if I had to put money on it. Because that's right. That's what your pick is, right? That's really what your pick is if you had to put money on it. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks, but I think this one is very close as well. I think this is like 20-17, and I think that Russell Wilson's legs are the difference. I think this looks a lot like the Green Bay San Francisco game, with Russell Wilson playing the part of Colin Kaepernick on a drive in the fourth quarter with his legs, getting a couple first downs, kicking the game-winning field goal.
Do you think? I mean, I watched the last Sunday's game in Lambeau, and I've been calling for it for the last couple weeks that in the regular season you didn't see a whole lot of the pistol or the option run by the quarterback. But if you're Russell Wilson with Marshawn Lynch standing behind you, or Kaepernick with Frank Gore, it feels unstoppable to me. I felt like the Niners watching that game midway through the second quarter. And then into the second half, I thought, what are the Niners doing? Just gash them. They have no answer to you just pounding it over and over and over again.
It is very, very hard to defend. And even look at, like, college football. Look at what Auburn did to Florida State for a lot of that game. I mean, it's just, it's tough. When you're a quarterback that can really run it, and he does a good job of reading the unblocked man and pulling the football, it's hard. And I'm with you. I think that these quarterbacks, you know, if you look at it, we've got quarterbacks that are either, wait for it, elite, your favorite word, Dave. They're either elite and like Hall of Fame caliber, Brady, Breeze, Montana, Manning, Phillip Rivers playing that kind of year, or they're a young gun that can really run, which is Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, and I put Luck in there. Luck, every game you watch, you're like, wait a minute, Luck just had 50 yards rushing again? You know, he's sneaky. We don't talk about it with Luck. And I think in the playoffs, since it's do or die, I think they're much more likely to run. So, yes, I do think you'll see Russell Wilson.
Again, we park our cars in the same garage. Rank, making it a complete sweep here?
Yes, sir. But by the way, you guys called Andrew Luck a little bit overrated, but that's one of the things that underrates him is that running ability.
You're right.
Because he, like you said, you do not understand. Like, people just don't fathom that he rushed for 50, 60 yards at a pop. And remember, that team was 2-14 last year. I'll get off that. But
I think Luck is great. But the fact of the matter is he turns the ball over a ton, way more than his peers do, more than any of them do, which is such a heady QB, you would think he would avoid those things. All right.
I got you. But I'll go with Seattle. So, I'm tempted, although he was talking about like how you would play it if you had to put your money where your mouth is. Well, I would be hedging here because the Saints were my preseason pick. So if I just pick the Seahawks, I win either way.
I see. I got you. All right, now let's go to the AFC, and let's talk about Andrew Luck traveling to Foxborough. Who you got in that one, Ross?
Yeah, this is the game that I'm most confident in. I think the Patriots win by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
I was there in 05 and 06 until they traded me, and the one thing Belichick does really well is he typically refuses to let your best guy beat him. I mean, you might beat him, but it's not going to be you do it, your best guy. T.Y. Hilton is not going to have 13 catches for 224 yards against the Patriots. That's not happening. The Colts are going to have to beat them another way. I don't think they're capable of it. This feels to me like about 31-17. I like the Patriots by double digits.
Who you got, Rank?
Do you think Tom Brady should be in the MVP consideration when you were talking about all the things like losing all of those players, the anonymous cast of characters?
I honestly, Adam, I don't think that there should be MVP. I don't see how you can give it to anybody other than Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, if it's just a regular season award, I mean, there's other guys we could talk about. And we could say, oh, yeah, he had a good year. But if we're being realistic about who we should vote for, it's really hard to not give it to Peyton Manning for the season he had.
Completely agree on that one.
If you switch their teams, do you think Peyton Manning throws 55 touchdowns and Brady doesn't? Kembrell Tompkins.
I think Brady puts up the same numbers Manning does if he's in Denver. Mm-hmm. And although you know what, I take that back a little bit because Brady wasn't playing that well the first half of the year, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So if Brady's playing that way, now part of that was the guys around him, but part of that was Brady just wasn't playing that well. But I think Brady puts up comparable numbers, and I think Peyton Manning is 9-7 with the Patriots instead of 12-4 like Brady was.
Do you think that Vince Wilfork and Mayo, because I've been saying that you know, but when Gronkowski went down, everybody said, they're devastated now. I say it goes back to those two defenders. They're two best, with the possible exception, I guess, of Tlaib still out there. But I feel like, I mean, maybe this sets up right because the Colts ain't going to kill him on the ground. But I think what I hearken back to is the game in Foxborough when Denver actually blew it there. What we saw was the formula to beat them. Just murder them on the road. On the ground, I should say.
Yeah. And I think that will be their issue if they get to the Super Bowl for the Patriots. That would be their problem because, you know, pretty much anybody they'd go against, maybe with the exception of the Saints, although they ran the ball well Saturday night, would be able to run it down the throat of the Patriots. I mean, they got two rookie free agents starting at defensive tackle. I mean, the one guy's been cut by two teams already. That's why if they win it this year, I'm just closing the debate on the best coach, best quarterback thing.
Well, but on the other hand, if Jim Harbaugh wins, and in fact, he's 60 minutes away from being 3-for-3 in going to NFC title games during his NFL coaching career, that might make him the best, you know, especially if he goes title game, Super Bowl loser, Super Bowl champion. It'll be hard to argue against him. But all right, let's talk about the last one then. Broncos hosting the Chargers. Who you got?
I'm still going to go Broncos. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Chargers have been very competitive in both games. They clearly have a good feel for the Broncos offense. I think Mike McCoy is a huge reason for that, having spent last year in Denver. But I also think John Pagano deserves a lot of credit. I mean, how many times did Andy Dalton, like, tuck it away and run for 2 yards or just throw the ball away because nobody was open? Yet after that game, Jay Gruden gets 5, you know, head coaching interviews. I mean, there was nobody open.
How ludicrous is that? What is the thing I'm missing about Jay Gruden with all those weapons to be so unproductive? As I know they had some nice weeks, but to put up 10 points at home against a pretty lousy defense. I know Ingram changes them, but still.
I picture Jay Gruden going into these head coaching interviews with a DVD of all of Andy Dalton's worst plays and being like, look, dude, we won 11 games with this guy right here. Watch this. I can't about this. I think the Broncos win. I think the Broncos win because the NFL world will go berserk if the Broncos lose. Plus, if the Broncos win, that's better for you and me.
I agree.
It's a much better storyline. Whether it's Broncos Colts would be awesome, or what everybody I think wants is Broncos Patriots. You know, Brady, Manning, and then we'll talk about a game that has a lot to do with people's legacy. That would be it.
If you have on one side, come on, football gods. We've had a fun season. The playoffs last week were great, were positively gay. But if you really want to do it right, let's get Kaepernick v. Wilson on one side and Brady v. Manning on the other. And then it all boils down, whoever wins either of those games, whoever wins those, then it's old versus new in the Super Bowl. Oh, it's going to be grand. Ross Tucker, you know what? I'm going to let you go here because I could go on for another half hour. Me and Rank could kibitz with you some more. Let's make sure that we do that sooner rather than later because I find you delightful, Ross Tucker.
Thank you. Well, it's my pleasure to come on. I think that by next year's awards, my goal is to usurp A.J. Hawk as the best guest.
Whoa.
I know A.J.'s still a player. He's a first-round pick and blah, blah, blah. But I think, listen, I mean, I brought some Ned Schreierson. I haven't heard A.J. Hawk mention Ned Schreierson.
No, indeed.
A.J. Hawk's a good movie guy, but yeah, I do. That swings well in your favor, Ross.
Yeah, get Hawk.
We got to make sure everybody listening gives the Ross Tucker Football Podcast a shot. And I'm going to give you, Dave, I'm going to have you come on my podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, so everybody listens to my podcast gives this a shot because these are the two best football podcasts out there.
Ah, you. Listen, so follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. He's mentioned it. It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. also NBC Sports, Sirius XM, NFL Radio. He's positively gangbusters, and again, he is. You know what? Let it be known to the rest of the football land. We have our first candidate for the best recurring guest in the 2014 Shecky Awards.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Dave.
All right, I look forward to talking to you tomorrow on your show, Ross.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, there
you
go.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to call him great, the great Ross Tucker. Insightful,
absolutely.
Fun.
Well-deserved.
Brought a little bit of mirth to the proceedings. And I did not anticipate to him matching our Peyton Manning doubt. And that's all it is. It's doubt. It's not hate. We are correctly suspicious of what he is going to do. We're skeptical. Doesn't make us cynical. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's just vapid cynicism to shoot everything down. I'm not shooting him down. I'm skeptical based on the results we've seen so far. Who's like your pick? Who do you do? Just wanted to get our picks in here. I am going Broncos, like I said.
Well, I've considered picking the upset here and going that way, but when I look at it, I have to go. I got to be smart about it and have to go Chargers.
Are you really going Chargers here?
Yeah.
Do you believe in your gut that's what's going to happen?
Yes.
You know, that's the thing I almost went back to Ross with there. And then I decided, all right, it's been a half an hour. I don't want to keep him on the line any longer.
Right.
But he mentioned the Mike McCoy factor. I really do wonder about who wins that battle. Does Peyton Manning know something about Mike McCoy or vice versa? Who gets the edge as a result of that relationship? You would think that Mike McCoy is obviously savvy, and he knows how to tailor what he wants to do around his quarterback, witness that he had a very successful season. He was, in fact, the only successful guy with Tim Tebow.
Right.
And then and then 1 year later, he's with the 180 degree opposite of what Tim Tebow is in Peyton Manning, and then goes out and immediately does what Norv could never do, which is make, or at least in the last couple of years, Phil Rivers dynamite, a completely different guy, gets a tough win on the road.
Wiz and Hunt deserves a little bit of
credit. And Wiz, all right, you're right, that's true, fair enough. All right, so listen.
You know what, what's funny about that, too, is I look back at the last three games that they played, and I'm trying to remember remember that game where the Chargers blew on Monday night against them, where they were killing the Broncos? It was pretty much the thing that ended Norv Turner's coaching career in San Diego.
Right.
They were smoking them, and there was like a couple of fluky plays.
Was it 21-0 or something like that?
24-0 at halftime.
24-0, yeah.
And you look at it, I'm like, gosh. And I just remember watching that game going like, God, the Chargers just play so well against Peyton, whether it be in Indianapolis, whether it be in Denver, and then kind of there was a couple of fluke plays, and then the first game this year wasn't really that competitive. But then,
well, the Chargers came back in that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They did rally, and then in the second one where they beat them in Denver, then you're like, you know what? I'm starting to see it again. That's why I honestly believe that the Chargers will win that game.
All right. Well, I don't see that one happening, but boy, oh boy. Here's what we really do. What we need to root for here, like I just said, and I don't know how this has escaped me because I love projecting and trying to figure out what would be the most fun to see. What? You can't beat. I mean, listen, the Phil Rivers story and everything else is fine.
Chargers-Patriots wouldn't be.
That would be fine. Andrew Luck paying a visit to Peyton Manning is a great storyline. But in terms of the game I want to see is Patriots-Broncos rematch. And on the other hand, on the other side of things, Saints going on the road and, Cam Newton and the rise of the Panthers and all that. But listen, let's just get...
Wait, let me say one thing,
two old guard, Brady Peyton, Russell Cap heaven.
What about the storyline here? If Philip Rivers was able to return to New England, the Chargers lost the 2007 AFC Championship game. LaDainian Tomlinson did not play. Philip Rivers playing on a busted knee. Now he's healthy. The opportunity to go back and win
it's a
that
nice
game.
Story. It's a nice story.
Isn't that the best storyline?
I'm not as intrigued.
That beats Manning Brady. That one's been done. Brady has proven his point time and time again.
Let's see it one last time for all the marbles and to settle the respective legacies once and for all. All right, joining us in Studio 66 right now, before we hear how Rank's conversation with Victor Cruz went, from Around the League of the very fine Around the League podcast, I say this a lot, but the fellas on the Around the League podcast, Misters Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal, and this fella provide as informed an analysis as you'll hear. And as always, they also do it with a little bit of mirth. Here he is. It's Dan Hanzus. What's the poop, fella?
What's up, guys? two things. Rank, do you even need to pick Broncos games at this point? Do you need to make it public that you're picking the other team? Shouldn't it just be assumed at this point that you're picking whoever Peyton Manning's playing against?
It's not that I'm taking in the information. I'm looking at a quarterback and how he performs in the post. I'm just going off the numbers. That's pretty much, I mean, as a guy.
History
who,
favors Rank.
And Dave,
I'm just going off the numbers. That's all.
Dave, it's a big week for you, Dave.
Why is it a big week for me?
Big week?
Big week for Dave and Rank. But Dave went on the Simmons podcast recently, which is a huge platform, huge audience, and became really the face of anti-Peyton propaganda. You need Peyton to fail
propaganda.
This year more than any other year.
Peyton, man, I mean, propaganda has a stink on it. Don't use that word at me. Now, listen,
for both you guys. I wish you the best of luck because your legacy is right on this.
How are? I don't know. I'll tell you what. I don't
narratives,
know
narratives, legacies.
I don't know who's writing that narrative. The narrative of looking and dissecting information and putting it out there. That's reporting. I'm reporting that Peyton Manning doesn't play well in the playoffs. That doesn't make me a hater.
Whoever wrote that narrative can shove that one where the sun don't shine.
All right,
Peyton Manning wrote that narrative by losing and going 9-11 in the playoffs.
It's
self-inflicted.
It's his autobiography. It's not a work of fiction, but all right, Hanzoos. So you are of the mind that Peyton Manning is going to win this week, correct?
I am, yes.
Do you even have to assume it? You're automatically picking Peyton Manning to win every ball game that he ever plays in for the rest of eternity.
Who's got the toughest road here, Hanzoos? Let's talk about this. Who's got the toughest road to hoe among these teams, these quarterbacks? To me, I've gone back. Well, I'll throw it to you. Think about the potential games that are upcoming here, the three-game road that these guys have. Who's got it worse?
I think Carolina got screwed. I think this is a great season for the franchise and, once again, you know, ascending to the top of the NFL. But now you have to beat the Niners, which is they might be one of the best wild card teams in many, many years. And if they can somehow get by that, they
it's
might
have a good list. What's the best wild card teams? Well, then too many wild cards go on, but okay.
Yeah, but if they can get past Jim Harbaugh in a divisional game, they then have to go to Seattle most likely and beat the best home team in the league the last couple of years. They're in a very tough spot right now.
It's interesting. Well, you know what? Who I think is the toughest? I think it's the Saints. They have to go through Seattle, where we've declared, as has the world, that no one's going to go through there in January. Although it is undercut for me. It's not the Cardinals' loss at the end of the season. It's that Russell Wilson, it's like what Ross Tucker was just saying. Russell Wilson has not looked as good, and I don't hold him necessarily accountable because Golden Tate's his number one. I mean, that. And then on the other hand, great defense, can pound it with Marshawn Lynch. They should certainly survive that game. And, in fact, they should really dominate a team that isn't built to bang on you for 60 minutes
There's
up in the
that,
raw weather of Seattle.
That Bucs game, too, about a month ago or a month and a half ago now, when the Bucs were 0-8 or whatever at that point, and they had a big lead in Seattle, and Seattle stole the game at the end.
Right.
So, you know, this isn't exactly like the Celtics at the Boston Garden in 86 where they were just no one ever had a chance. I mean, people, they've been beaten. They were almost beaten another time. So while I think that Seattle's still the favorite in the NFC, I wouldn't be absolutely blown away if either the Saints or the Niners went in there and won.
Would you be surprised if the Panthers did it?
I wouldn't be that surprised. I think the Panthers are a really good team that got a bad draw. I don't think the Panthers are going to get out of this week, though. I think this is.
I agree with you. It's like we talked about Steve Smith. If Steve Smith can't go, it's really hard to imagine unless there's some turnovers and so on and so forth. So Breeze and company would have to go presumably. Well, even if they have to go through Carolina, they lost there just a couple weeks ago. But if they have to go Seattle. At the stick, and then against Peyton Manning or Tom Brady for all the marbles. That's a pretty tough one.
That loss that the Saints had in Carolina actually gave me confidence last week when they were going into Philadelphia because it was a rainy game, and the Saints were in it till the very end, which led me to believe, like, okay, they can play in weather. This outcome didn't work in their favor, but it showed me that they could go outdoors and win, and obviously they went and did it.
I have, like I mentioned, I have a new piece up there on NFL.com. It's the Reality Check. Take a look for that. It's labeled.
It was excellent, Dave.
I think it's labeled.
I tweeted it even.
Did you really?
Yeah,
what a sweetheart.
Tweet out of it.
The two rings. It is two rings or not two rings is in the number two. And to wit, if I think we can agree, if Peyton Manning wins a Super Bowl, he is at the worst in the top three greatest quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era. Can you say the same about Drew Brees, though? Especially if he runs the gauntlet that I just laid down for you.
I think he enters the conversation with a run like this. Talked about it downstairs yesterday. Mark Sessler was less convinced that that would be the case. But if he pulled this off and he went on the road three games in a row against some top-level opponents and then knocked off the AFC team in the playoffs, that is the run added with the magical first Super Bowl
run. Right, exactly.
And all the stats. He'll probably be top three, top five offensive passing stats at the end of his career. I mean, he'll have a real case.
Is he the best of all time rank of the Super Bowl era? If Drew Brees has two rings, is he the best QB in the Super Bowl era?
He would not beat out Tom Brady.
Not beat out Tom Brady. Not Tom Joe Brady. Montana. At the very least, you can't have the conversation any longer without Drew Brees' name being a part of it.
No, and then you'd have to factor in the Super Bowl will be in New York, which will be outside, which will be very cold. Mm. That would be impressive. A guy who's a dome quarterback going out and winning.
All right, two more questions for you, Hanzeus. Rank for me, off the top of your head, as best you can.
Okay.
1 through 8, the QBs that are still standing in these playoffs, who you would want starting a big-time game for you.
Well, I don't have to do it off the top of my head because I came prepared with a post-it note.
Ah, perfect. Go ahead, lay it on me.
All right.
Tom Brady won.
Tom Brady
won. Everybody
won.
Has Tom Brady won. Only, you know, the only guy who was the exception of the straw poll I've taken around the NFL newsroom is, and I've asked about 10 guys this, is LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, said Drew Brees, and I probably attribute that to their kinship back in San Diego. They work mm-hmm. together, so he has an affection for him.
And LT has that Patriot heat still from 2006.
Yeah, these are human beings. Yeah. Heath Evans maybe put Peyton Manning at 6 because of some because of something in the past with that. All right.
I have Kaepernick at 2.
Ooh.
Just because I absolutely loved what he did this past week and what he did in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
I have Manning at 3. I know it's going to be way higher than where you guys put him.
No, that's fine.
Drew Brees at 4. He could be higher, but I really did not like – I rewatched the game from last week, and he did not play well last week. He wasn't throwing the ball well, and we'll see. I know they won the game, but that was more a weird ground-and-pound thing, so we'll see. Number 5, I have Luck, who's kind of a wild card in this. Russell Wilson at 6, Phillip Rivers at 7, and Cam Newton, show me, at 8.
Boy, oh boy, it's amazing that the more I ask, people are settling into certain categories here. Cam Newton is the show me guy, and Kaepernick's sort of the one who's all over the place. The guy who has consistently slid is Russell Wilson, much to black tie behind the glasses chagrin. He doesn't like hearing that noise. Let's see what Russell does, though. He wins this game, he wins at home, goes to a Super Bowl. We won't doubt him ever again if he even just gets to the Super Bowl. Last thing is, and I ask both of you, Rank and Hanzeus, this. Peyton Manning versus John Elway. I know what your answer is, Rank, but do you have any doubt that John Elway is the guy you'd rather have?
Absolutely.
Who's the better NFL QB?
Elway.
John Elway. No question for you. Now, keep in mind, he wouldn't have any rings if it weren't for Terrell Davis.
But John Elway, if you looked at it, the teams that he played for, did a lot with a little. He took a lot of bad Broncos teams, not necessarily to the Super Bowl, obviously, but also to like AFC championship games where he was willing them to do things that a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't have been able to do. And plus, he had that extra element of being able to run.
He
can extend plays. Peyton cannot.
Here's the other thing with him, too, is, you know, like you mentioned, because it is worth reminding everybody. Everybody always talks about poor Barry Sanders. Didn't get to play with anybody. Poor Dan Marino. John Elway, in his prime, Sammy Winder was his running back. I mean, what were his weapons? Steve Watson, Vance Johnson, and so on. Egad.
Dreadful teams he played.
Hanzeus, how say you?
Well, you know where I'm going with this. I think Peyton Manning's the greatest quarterback that's ever lived.
Oh, I didn't know you thought. I honestly didn't know you had him number one. I didn't
stunner.
Think that. I didn't think that.
Oh, you really didn't think
no,
that? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think from a skill level and from a smarts level and statistically the best ever, he desperately needs this ring to get everyone else to understand that. And I do think that John Elway, while a brilliant career and a Hall of Famer, he was helped a lot by what happened those last 2 years, and it's changed how people view him, even though maybe necessarily wasn't about Elway that got those rings.
And poor Peyton's had to somehow survive this year with Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker and Wes Welker and Julius Thomas and no Sean Moreno.
Wait, is Julius Thomas a Pro Bowl stud with an average quarterback?
If you put him on the Patriots, absolutely.
Well, that's Tom
you
Brady.
Put him on a lot.
Tom Brady. That's the Julius Thomas one.
Put him on the Jets. What is Julius
the
Thomas
Jets,
doing?
Come on, don't be.
He would put him
be
on
their,
the Giants.
He would be their leading receiver. He would do very well for the Giants. He'd be great with the Giants. There's not a lot of teams he wouldn't do very well.
Nobody was talking about Julius Thomas really until this year, though.
Yeah, but he's one of those. He wasn't. He's one of those guys who had.
Whoa! The loudest inception horn to end the conversation of all time. Black Ow. Tie is
every.
You see the, what's going on?
Enough of the Peyton Manning bash, and all of a sudden Julius Thomas is a Pro Bowl tight end. Like, come on, relax.
Are you serious?
I got to back Hendricks on this one thing. Like he said, Peyton Manning needs this ring so you all can understand that, yes, he is the best ever. People like me and Hendricks, just like how I see body language, we can see these guys. Eyeball test works. We can see these guys.
Well, then
greatness.
You should. Well, then
you guys,
clearly, if your eyes are
wait,
open.
Time out. The more simpler folks, you guys need need the facts. He needs the rings.
Yes. You guys, what a ridiculous premise to look at who wins the most in a sport.
In a team sport. Your question is, if Drew Brees wins the Super Bowl, is he the greatest quarterback of Super Bowl ever? Not even close. I don't care if he wins two more Super Bowls. There's no way watching
the
game.
He's in
you
the
can
conversation.
Tell me Drew Brees is the best quarterback of
he
Super
holds,
Bowl
he holds, conversation. He holds the record for most passing yards in a season, and he's put up like 5,000 yards time and time again.
It's a team sport, guys. Come on.
Poor Tom Brady. Brady, by the way, so close twice to this conversation never, ever taking place.
So true.
I'm almost ready.
I've
told you before, and I'll say it again, though. I'm not talking all time, but the conversation would be quite different about who the best quarterback in the NFL is right now if Ben Roethlisberger throws a touchdown pass down six with 2 minutes left in that game. If he throws a touchdown pass against the Packers and he's 3 for 3 in the last nine seasons.
Do I need to hit the interception one again?
No.
Please do it.
Listen, guess what? If Ben Roethlisberger has won 3 of the last 9 Super Bowls,
the double standard you have with
that would there would be no argument to that.
The
guy who steps up in the postseason
is the same guy. Wait, hold on. Sheck is the same guy who said this might have been Big Ben's best season of
his
career.
It was. I think it maybe was.
Who even remembers Big Ben? Do you remember Big Ben's season? Has this?
Well, he had
it was
a great
only a couple
season
weeks
for a mediocre team.
That's how forgettable it was. Oh, this was his best season.
Actually, that's not accurate because if you play fantasy football, he was fantastic down the stretch. But if you want to play the what-if game, where does Kurt Warner go if he wins that game against the Steelers and he's taken the St. Louis Football Club, the Arizona Cardinals, two of the most dreadful franchises in the NFL, and has taken them to Super Bowls.
And then had that weird mid-period malaise with the Giants. And that was so strange about his career.
He had the Giants on track to go to the playoffs when he was yanked for Eli Manning.
Well, I'll tell you where he goes. He winds up where he's still going to wind up, which is the Hall of Fame. He'll eventually get in there. Is he the best? No. Because at some point it matters how long you make it. It depends. You know, if Kurt Warner had 4 great NFL seasons, I still think it's enough to get him in the Hall of Fame.
He did.
I said he had 4 great NFL seasons. He wasn't. You know, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger in his worst season isn't as bad. Didn't reach anything close to the lows that Kurt Warner suffered. But the difference is this, Hanzus, and then we'll get to Eli Manning's best friend there, Victor Cruz, in a second here. But the point is this, and it's a tough gambit, I feel like, if you can build an NFL team. You want Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, because those guys almost always are going to get your team to the playoffs. Because over the course of, with the sample size, the bigger it gets, the more those tactician guys are going to win more games than they're going to lose, and they're going to get you to the playoffs. I don't like it, though, when the elements are a factor and you have to make special plays. And I hate using the superlative special. But when you have to make decisive plays, individual plays, I understand it goes against the notion of team. But when you are the man, John Elway, in the biggest moments, made big plays, not in the Super Bowl, but he did at least get them to the Super Bowl. Give me the gunslinger, guys. I'll suffer through bad picks with Elway. Here's my point. Brady, Peyton, Brees, you can have those three. I'll take Favre, Elway, Roethlisberger, and I bet you, you'll have a better record at the end of the regular season, but my guys will win more Super Bowls. And that's what it plays for. We don't play stats. It's not fantasy football. They didn't call off the postseason because fantasy season ended. They've decided to go forward with this and hand out a Lombardi trophy as they decided to do some years ago annually. That's why they keep playing it. So it doesn't matter. This idea. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, how can you count the ring? Count the rings? How can you do that? So silly. Well, let's call it off. Let's just gather around the computer and look at the statistics, and we'll put our arms around each other.
What's so great is that when Peyton Manning talks about the narrative comes from the Peyton Manning supporters, the guys who act like defense attorneys trying to ignore the facts, like ignore all the facts and listen to these stories that we want to go on about all these great things that he does. And he's just like, please do not look at the fact that he always loses in the postseason, but look at the time that he threw 7 touchdowns in a game in Week 1 against the Baltimore Ravens and things like that. But you know what? Here's the thing. He will win 2 outdoor playoff games. He will win a cold weather Super Bowl. He does that, then he's in the conversation for the best of all time. But until he does, sorry, pal.
Good luck, guys. Big week.
It doesn't matter to me.
Big week.
It does not matter to me because I have always been backing the facts. And if he wins 2 Super Bowls, I will again continue to point to the facts and say, now that he's won 2, he is in the conversation of best quarterback of all time.
That really is the point. If he wins 2 in a row, I'm not gonna be sad. I'm not gonna feel like it's a personal shot against me. I'll say, good for you. All right, you did it. You're the best quarterback.
And if he really wanted to prove, if he really wanted to put this all to rest, you know what? When he was a free agent, he had the opportunity. He could have gone and signed with Cleveland and said, you know what? I'll show everybody.
Oh, boy,
I can go to a terrible
wormhole here.
No, he's going. He said, I'm going to go sign with a team that just won a playoff game and take over a spot there because I feel comfortable with the coaches, with the talent.
Shame on him for that.
I'm just saying. You look at who Tom Brady's been playing. Do you think
he joined an 8-8 team that lost like 60-10?
8-8 team.
This is going off the rails, guys.
The Broncos had won a playoff game with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow has won more playoff games with the Denver Broncos than Peyton Manning.
We've never gotten double barrel inception horn. Do it one more time. There, that's got to be it. All right,
Peyton
listen. Rank is literally standing up right now.
Rank's going to beat me after.
Doing the Greg Rosenthal. He's standing up.
I'm not beating anybody. It's just that when you just people just ignore
don't make me
the
do
fact.
It a third
All
time.
All right, it's enough. It's we get it. We're done. I'm going to start rooting for Peyton Manning. I'm not rooting against him, just for the record. I'm not rooting for or against. You know what I am rooting for are those 2 title games. Now I have a new mission to use all of my influence, all of my energy to get Peyton versus Brady on one side, Russell v. Cap on the other. No offense to the other teams there. Dan Hanzus, wonderful work as usual on this show and then also on the Around the League podcast, doing gangbusters, and also around the league at NFL.com/ATL. Always keeping you up to the second on what's going down in pro football, and always with a bit of mirth. Give our best to those other 3 fellas.
I shall
do it with.
Thank
all right, Dan Hanzus, and now Rank. Let's turn it over to you. Do you want to say anything in front of this Victor Cruz thing? It's like setting up a clip. Do you have anything to say, or do you just want to throw to it?
Let's just throw to it. And then please don't acknowledge the joke that I throw in front of it that you won't hear until after the fact.
Okay, perfect. All right. Let's get to it. Adam Rank with Victor Cruz.
It's time for the Adam Rank Gridiron Podcast for Kids, mainly to make up for the fact that Dave stole my Buffalo Wild Wings joke on the Sheck Report. And joining us right now, it's former Super Bowl champion, a former Pro Bowler, but a current all-around great guy, Victor Cruz. What's happening, man?
Everything is well, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, you're making the rounds for Xbox One. We'll touch on that in a moment. But 2 years ago, you guys won the Super Bowl. Now it's back-to-back years outside of the playoffs. What's going on up there in New York?
Man, it's tough. We've had some injuries, a couple of things that set us back, and a couple of games of just not playing good all-around football that kind of hurt us initially. So, I mean, it's just stuff to learn from, stuff to grow from, and we'll be better come next year.
Now, a lot of coaching changes are going on right now in the NFL, but Tom Coughlin will remain there in New York. Do you feel it's good to have that continuity because you guys have proven you can win with him?
Absolutely. I mean, Tom Coughlin's a guy that we have to keep close and that we have to, you know, a guy that we love, that I love personally, that keeps us in order, keeps us in check, runs a tight ship, and he gets it. He understands his players, and I think it's definitely key to have him on our side.
Now, do you find yourself able to watch playoff football with you guys out of it, or is it something that you just swear off now?
I definitely watch it. I watch it kind of with one eye, as much as it saddens me that we're not playing anymore. But I do watch it still kind of with one eye open and paying attention to certain teams and certain players and things like that.
Does it make it easier that the Eagles are out?
Absolutely. I mean, I always, you know, wish them the best. And they had a pretty good team. They were kind of the hot team going into the playoffs. But, you know, for them to lose, it kind of sucks for them. But, you know, you definitely don't want to see another NFC East team win a Super Bowl other than yourselves.
That makes perfect sense. One of the teams that looks pretty good right now, the San Francisco 49ers, Jim Harbaugh came out and said that Michael Crabtree is the best pass catcher he has ever seen. Do you ever hear something like that and go, wait a minute, hold the phone. I'm pretty good too.
Sometimes, but I mean, he plays on his team. I'm sure if there was a different receiver that caught as many balls or caught whatever he caught with his team, he'd be saying that about him too. So it's obviously something that he's going to say about his team, and we respect that. Michael Crabtree's a good player, and I definitely respect everything he's done in this league.
What would you think if Tom Coughlin came out and said, you know what, he's right, Michael Crabtree is the best?
Then we'll have a problem because, you know, he's our guy. He's supposed to be on our side because we have some pretty good pass catchers on the Giants as well.
Absolutely. What about Hakeem Nicks? Is he coming back? Because I know there's a lot of speculation. Do you guys talk about that? What was that like when you guys packed up your locker room and everything and moved on? Do you feel like you'll see him in the locker room next year?
I hope so. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, has been on my side, has been influential in helping me grow as a player because he's, you know, number one pick. Well, not number one pick, but first-round draft choice for the Giants and their guy. And he's helped me come along in my career. So I definitely like to see him back in our locker room, but I understand the business aspect of this, and I wish him the best.
Now, speaking of the locker room, I saw something cool just recently. You took a bullied teen, Joey Kimmerling. Excuse me if I'm getting that name, if I'm not getting that name correct, but you took him on a tour of the Giants locker room. Of course, this is part of an upcoming special for the USA Network. Tell me, how'd you get involved with that?
The NFL reached out to me to spend some time with a kid who was bullied early on and in his youth and his young life. And, you know, it's something that I can relate to, being that, you know, growing up, I faced my share of bullying and maltreatment as a kid and things that I had to face growing up in an urban neighborhood. So I definitely could relate to things that he was going through. So I sat with him, got to talk with him for a little while and really understood his story. And it was definitely a unique story and something that people can learn from, which is what attracted me to it.
Mm-hmm. And I should point out, too, that Joey is out of the closet. He's homosexual. Chris Cluey recently stated he was banished from the NFL because of his political beliefs. Did that cause you to pause? Were you worried about getting involved with this cause?
No, not at all. I think, you know, my beliefs are my beliefs, and whatever the case may be, that I have to make my own choices in life and continue to go on from there. You know, I'm not coming out and doing anything outlandish. I'm merely just, you know, helping a kid and helping someone that faced maltreatment and faced bullying. And, you know, bullying is bullying, no matter whether it's a bigger guy picking on you for your lunch money or if it's someone picking on you because of your sexuality. It's the same thing. It's the same feeling. And it's the same result. I mean, guys can, you know, we've seen people lose their lives, commit suicide and things like that. So if I can do my part to try to prevent situations like that, I will.
Now, you are joining us to promote the Xbox One Playoff Face-Off, an endeavor I've also been involved with. Why don't you tell the people at home how it works?
The Playoff Face-Off is an app that's on your Xbox One, and it's basically the NFL at the palm of your hands and in your gaming console. You can get all the live footage that's on NFL TV, NFL Live, NFL Total Access, all of those things, as well as the sweepstakes that they're doing in order for you to kind of go on and make decisions on different questions and the sweepstakes on who will have a 100-yard game in this coming playoffs and different things like that would allow you to win different prizes like an Xbox One, like tickets to the Super Bowl and things of that nature. So it's definitely a way to interact with other teams and with the league, even though your team may not be in the playoffs.
And I had that Colin Kaepernick for 100 yards, and he fell just too shy. But are you a gamer at all?
I'm definitely a gamer. I've been a gamer since Nintendo, Sega, all the way on up. So I'm definitely a gamer for sure.
When you're playing a little bit of Madden, who are you using? Are you using the Giants there?
Yeah, I'm the guy that thinks it's blasphemy to use anybody else but the Giants. So I'm definitely Giants out for sure.
If you take the Giants out of the mix, who would you want to use?
If I take the Giants out, I got to go with the brother. I got to go with Denver. They got a lot of weapons out there to use and a lot of different things, so I definitely have to go with Denver.
I don't think that would sit well with Eli to have him know that you're like, oh, I'll just immediately go to – at least go somebody else. Go with the Browns.
I think he'd be happy that I keep it in the family, so I guess he'll have to take that.
Fair enough. We'll bring that up to him next time we see him. And right now, while we have a moment, we have a little game we call called Explain Yourself, where we've trolled your Twitter feed. Now, I'm going to go ahead and assume – I'm going to assume that you run it and it's not a marketing team.
It is me.
Okay. I want to ask you about a couple of guys that you follow that kind of piqued our interest, okay?
Okay.
Starting off, you follow Casey Kane. How did that – the NASCAR driver, how did that – are you a big NASCAR fan?
No, I actually met Casey Kane through Time Warner Cable, which is one of my sponsors, and we actually met each other and kind of hit it off. He's an extremely cool person, cool dude, and we asked, you know, first thing you do when you meet somebody now is you ask them if they have social media, and we just decided to follow each other and kind of just keep track with each other's careers and things like that. So that's how that came about.
Well, that's neat. Okay, so I'm guessing now there's another guy I noticed that's probably going to have a very similar story, but Ian Poulter. The PGA star.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing?
I actually met him with Casey Kane. It was all three of us together, and we were all sitting down, and we actually had a dinner together, and we were just talking and catching up, and we just decided to follow each other on social media as well. All these guys it's crazy because when you don't do some of these things, you don't know how cool these guys are. You just see them, and you just think that they're, you know, just regular guys, but when you see them, you see how cool they are, how open they are, how much you guys share the same ideas and the same beliefs, so it was definitely cool.
I understand. Okay, well then, the same ideas, same beliefs, so then how do you explain LeSean McCoy on your Twitter feed?
Oh, Shady's a close friend of mine, man. Regardless of some of the things he says and some of the antics he pulls, he's definitely a good dude, and if he's your friend, if he likes you, that goes a long way. He's a true friend, so he's definitely one of my close friends in the league, and one I definitely have to follow on Twitter, or else there would be some problem.
Well, didn't he call out one of your teammates? Isn't that going to be a little bit of a problem?
He did. He's unfortunately no longer, OC's no longer a teammate, but he did. And it was something that happened before I got there, and I had no clue what was going on. So it wasn't, it wasn't nothing for me, I guess.
Okay. I also want to tell you, too, it's no longer 2012, 2011, because you have Charlie Sheen and Kim Kardashian on your Twitter feed. I think it's time. It's time for a little bit of house cleaning there. What's next? Miley Cyrus? Why don't you just go in and put the Holy Triumvirate there?
I clearly got to make some changes to my Twitter followers, so I'll get that done in the new year.
Please do. I'm going to check on that and make sure that you're doing it. And I did see Snoop Dogg is on there. Very good choice. I'm not going to call you out for that one because that's very good, but it does lead me to this.
Everyone follow Snoop. You got to follow Snoop.
You should, but it does lead to this question. Best rap album of all time. And, of course, Doggy Style is certainly in the mix, but what is the best rap album of all time?
Best rap album of all time. Wow. I got to go with Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. I think that's a classic.
Okay, I knew you were going to say that because you guys work together. What is your – you guys have a working relationship, right?
Yes, as well as a personal relationship. The personal relationship came about first, and then – the working one came about naturally after that. So, yeah, we definitely work. Mm-hmm. We have a working relationship.
How did the friendship come about? You guys met through sponsors, and you're like, hey, are we in social media? Or how did this come?
No, we met through a mutual friend of mine, and we kind of sat down and just kind of talked for a long time. We went out to dinner and just kind of talked about, you know, life, things he's going through. We both, our children were born, our daughters were born kind of a day apart. So it was kind of one of those things where we had some things in common and we just talked. And then he, you know, shortly after that, he started this agency and we were, we just talked about it. And I decided to be one of the first guys to come along.
Well, very cool. I will say that Reasonable Doubt was a good answer. Unfortunately, it was wrong. We are looking for Paul's Boutique of the Beastie Boys. The greatest, okay. The greatest thing to come out of New York, you know. But and speaking of New York, the Super Bowl is going to be there. Hopefully, we will run into you there. And that's all we got for you. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, hey, who do you think is going to be in that Super Bowl, though? If we real quick,
I got a Seattle, Denver.
Seattle, Denver. I'll hold you to it, and if not, I'll call you out on Twitter.
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks so much, Victor.
All right, thank you.
All right, nicely done there, Rank. And I'll be honest with you. And when I say you, I mean the listener, not you, Rank, because you've been sitting here the whole time. I'm not gonna jive you. When I threw to the Victor Cruz interview, that was about 7 seconds ago. So I didn't hear the interview yet. I'm going to listen to it, though, and I'm sure it was terrific. Black Tie assures me it was gangbuster stuff. So, all right. One thing
What's
I do
angle?
Know that was great, Ross Tucker. He's terrific. Dan Hanzus, Around the League podcast, terrific. The Ross Tucker Football podcast, I'll be on it on Thursday, so be on the lookout for that. And so our final picks are, Rank, what we want. Well, so you say it's going to be the Chargers at the Pats.
Hello, good friends. Coming to you live from Indianapolis for the AFC Championship game.
Oh, you
game.
Think that, maybe?
No. Ross Tucker's convinced me to go Patriots, but it would it not surprise you? Just be like,
Listen, there's nothing to be surprised about in these playoffs anymore. All right, so check out NFL.com/Shaq for the latest Shaq/Shame report. There's that reality Shaq, NFL.com, all sorts of stuff with Adam Rank there. And we'll be back on the other side of the divisional round. Get you ready for the championship games. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.